hear your duck. Sweeties.
Hey everyone, I'm Wah.
And I'm Chris, and welcome to Doggy Sweeties.
We're two longtime friends who discuss the riveting and sometimes trashy world of reality TV and docuseries.
Yes, but through our own lens, which can be bored, really bored, with just this boring-ass, boring tell-all, just full of, like, just, I mean, nonsense, mundane drama. But at the end of the day, something mildly sweet will come of it because we're your girls. Hi!
Hello. And the tell-all,
yeah. The tell-all we're talking about, is, of course, is 90 Day Fiancé. It's the season 10, episode 20, tell-all part 2, which I think, well, is it this? This is the last one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is this? Okay. There's not four. Okay.
Correct.
Great.
They're not doing that test again, and thank God, you know. I will say that the quote that they started off this episode with, and just because they have to put it back in again, is Igor is not trans attracted. And then Ashley and Jasmine. I feel like what happened is that Ashley picked up what Jasmine was putting down and then picked it up and ran with it. I loved this, like, cast member calling people out type business. And I was here for Ashley. Mm-hmm. I was here for it.
Yeah. So. All the girlies had each other's back for sure. You know, so in that way, I agree. So we pick up on the fact that Gino had a bachelor party the night before Jasmine came to America. And at that stripper place, sorry, what's it called? Like a, sorry, gentleman's club.
Strip club?
There were strippers. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, right. I'm like, sorry. Like, do I think, you know, I'm from a different land. Like, what is the thing you called? I'm like, I'm McAriel. What is the word? Feet?
Stripper
okay,
place.
So, yeah, yeah. But we get to have an elongated segment where they have brought out Daisy from the last part. Now, poor ass Daisy, honey. It's just like in the backstage area about to go on her own, like on the stage. Like, you know, like she's back. There's poles. I mean, there's racks of like clothes. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's very showgirls. It makes me really happy. But she has, of course, a Midwestern accent. So like all of her like vowels are very flat, you know, like when Gino, you know, it's just so. Okay.
Sorry. That was me.
Okay. So sorry. The way that it came is I literally was like, is it an earthquake? Okay. Basically, so, you know, we have now gotten to see Gino having his lap dance, but and Jasmine has melted away into a jealous panic rage where she gets up, storms off, and Nikki has to go confront her, and she basically is like, he never look at me this way, Nikki. He doesn't love me. He doesn't smell me. You see, always smells. He doesn't smell me. You know, you're just like, oh my God. You know, I mean, if you heard like the decibels of what I just did, but like it's even higher. You know, she's just like, you know, like all of the wailing and snot. Like, you know, like when Jasmine wants to let loose, she like there's people in this world that cry with a certain kind of like je ne sais quoi, where you're like, there's no one can cry in this whole world like that. And I have always said that Claire Danes cries in a very special way. It's a nuance for me. I like the way Claire Danes cries. I've seen it a bunch. I respect her as an actress in a different way. I like the way that Jasmine cries is a certain kind of cry that like will live with me until the end of my life, you know?
Yes. Also, I didn't realize last episode how big her boobs were. It's almost like she got them done again and they are fully, it's like there's a shelf underneath them for the way that they are almost spilleth over it. And so she's crying in a way that it made me, she wanted the entire cast to hear her because like they did shots of the cast just hearing her be like, ah! Like in the background, right? So that we knew that the cast could hear it happening. And it was just so loud and forlorn in a way that was just quite unnecessary. I mean, truth be told. Now, then Nikki goes to talk to her and be like, oh, you're so brave, Jasmine. Like, blah, blah, blah. Don't worry. Like, but we feel, at least me, it feels silly to have a scene where Jasmine, looking as amazing as she does, is literally screaming and crying because Gino, looking the way he does, doesn't hug and smell her. it is quite baffling. So also, who has to hear this is Daisy. And Daisy is like, I respect you women. I mean, could you imagine like a scenario, not imagining it, but I think as somebody who provides a certain fantasy and has at the athletic build of someone who is a pole dancer, a stripper, to then have to deal with wives of the said person from the bachelor party, like there is a certain amount of humbleness you must have. You must be like, oh yes, I do understand as a woman how you might feel like your husband's behavior at this event was untoward, but let me tell you, it was not at all. And in fact, he seemed uncomfortable and awkward the whole time. And so then Jasmine comes back and she is still like, I'm sorry, Sean, I just had a panic attack. I don't mean to disrupt anything. I respect you so much, Sean. I'm sorry, everyone. And then she's like, Bo, I just want to say that Gino has never treated me like this. He has never wanted to put his face within my titties, even though I have on numerous occasions been topless in front of him. And so it is just unfair that this was your experience and not mine. Also, then she says to Daisy, listen, let me tell you right now that you may think him being awkward was a sign that he wasn't into it, but I can tell you right now that he is the most awkward when he's trying to flirt. So I'm like, girl, this, you sound like her fighting or crying over Gino is so crazy.
I also just love, like, Daisy, I found a fresh lip gloss in his car. You know, like, was it yours? You know, like, no, I've absolutely never been in that car. You know, like, now I want to know so bad. And I wish that I had done the due diligence at that moment to take a screenshot and like try and microanalyze what brand it is. Because like, if you were to guess what brand of lip gloss, like, it's not Fenty, obviously.
Revlon.
Wet n Wild.
It wasn't even, it to me, Wet n Wild doesn't pretend to be anything it isn't. I think that it was like either Revlon, it was some drugstore, like crazy color. It had, it wasn't even,
Max Factor.
Yeah, it didn't even have, Max Factor. It didn't even have like, it was like shimmery or something. It just like the packaging was like trying to do more than what it was actually doing. And you know, packaging these days is sleek. So I do believe that it was 6 years ago. Or it could have been Milani. And I love Milani Boots House Down. Like, I love it. But sometimes Milani has misses. And a lot of that is in the lip product. I'm just going to say it. I said it.
Well, don't come for her. You know, she's and obviously Milani's not sponsoring this. Mm-hmm. What a horrible sponsors that they would have done for us to talk shit about their lip products. But anyway, yeah, I don't know what it is either. She doesn't know what it either is, but I love the fact that we have cemented the idea that it is in fact fresh. It has, because it's like, and we all know, like, it's a fresh lip gloss. Now, I'll say right now, I've had lip glosses that are older than like, you know, like middle-aged children. Yeah, mm-hmm. Of course. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I don't ever throw away makeup. Ever, except for mascara and eyeliners, because mostly they dry out. Then that's why, yes, I have to throw them away. Yes. Or I run out of lipsticks or they melt down in some way. But if a lip product is still usable and it's in a form where it hasn't separated, and anything sort of powdery, I'll keep it my dying days. I think that, like, somewhere I have a True Colors like stack from the kiosks in the mall from the 90s, like those like mineral, like,
oh no,
eyeshadows.
Remember Rimmel?
Yeah, that Rimmel to me was always like a London product, you know, like,
yeah.
Yes. Get the London look, Rimmel.
It's not here anymore. I haven't seen it in these United States.
Do you think it still exists in the UK?
Mm-hmm. I know it still does in the UK.
Because it was a London-based thing, but yeah.
Yeah, they took it away from us. Anywho, okay, so he says that 95% of the time he was at the table with his family, and that 5% of the time they called him on stage to do all that stuff. So we we move on to Nikki and Igor.
Oh, did the panties thing? You talked about the panties thing, right?
Did that happen in this one? In this part of it? Yeah, maybe. Okay, let's talk about the panties. So now Jasmine says that somebody mailed panties or put it on their doorstep with a note to Gino's house. Gino says that it's a fan or it is a somebody trying to stir and cause trouble, which I fully believe. That yes. typed out message is obviously somebody who works in an office. Like who right now has a laptop or a computer and a printer and you aren't like over the age of 45? You do if you work in an office or you have an off home office because you work from home. But even then, a printer is pretty intense to me.
I would be like, where's the nearest Kinko's and can we get the footage? Because like, I would say 70% of the person that printed out the local Kinko's by them. And I also kind of wish that it was also a magazine situation where like each person had like clipped out a letter from a magazine and then like cut it. And it was like a serial killer. And then like, so they didn't have to print it. They were like, we don't, we're of a generation where we literally don't have a printer. And so the only way I can get you a nondescript type thing is to do the magazine trick, but then you would need glue and scissors and a lot of magazines.
You would.
And a big book.
Glue is what I don't have. I have tape. I might have glue though. I might have it.
I have nail glue.
I don't like to not have things. Like I have most things that you need in a home.
Yeah, I believe that. I do too. But I just don't know exactly where they all are.
Oh yeah, no.
I bought it before.
I have a cupboard, a little thing with all of my school supplies in it. But I have a stapler.
Yeah, I have a pencil sharpener. I have an automatic pencil sharpener.
Oh,
I have a file shredder.
Oh, come on, actor.
Okay, let's move on with this. Let's move on. So,
So Nikki and Igor, we pivot back to them again because they're like, "What's the status of your relationship?" And Ashley is like, "Well, why did you break up in a text?" And I guess I don't really understand like breaking up or relationships or anything that having to do with somebody wanting to be in a relationship with me. So I know a text is shitty. It looks like Burger with the post-it note from
Sex and City.
Sex and City. But like they don't live in the same country. So it kind of feels like it wouldn't be the worst thing for him to send a text message to clearly say how he feels. I mean, I don't know if he translated it, like he spoke it in Russian and then translated. I'm not sure what happened. But yeah, so she wants to know that. And he's just like, so I was so happy when he started just speaking in Russian. It was just so much easier and better, right?
Yes and no, because yes, I agree. I agree with that. But then he would go back and forth, yes, into the English. And then so then he starts to get kind of like mad and defensive. And listen, all the girlies are on their side. Ashley doesn't quite know where to go because at the same time, as Igor is trying to say what he wants to do, Nikki is cutting him off. And so at some point he's like, "You will let me talk. Maybe not tomorrow, I will not talk, but today I talk." And Ashley's like, "He said today he'll talk." Which when she said that, I almost felt like she was like hyping him, be like, "Yeah, like talk if you want him. The man's on a fucking monitor. I mean, let him talk. If he wants to talk, he just asks him a question." But then what ends up happening is it gets turned around and he's like, "You and Ashley and you have similar vibes," which then is like masculine vibes, manly vibes. And then he's like, "Ashley, get your candles." Like, it's so funny because sometimes he's like, "I don't hardly speak English." And then at the same time, he's like making fun of Ashley's witchy ways. Like, "Ashley, I don't know. The vibes are weird. Get candles. Are you holding the candles, Ashley?" You know, what?
I kind of liked it. Here's the truth. It's because I'm not on either of their sides. I'm okay with them reading each other back and forth. I'm not on Nikki's side at all. I think she's a weirdo, crazy person. And I think that she acts like he's using her. No, she was using him just as much. And I think that just she's trying to redeem herself and like the way that she, you know, talks to him and behaves and getting mad at him all the time. Like, who wants that? And every time she's like, "You just don't break up from one little thing." I was like, it doesn't sound like one little thing. I watched you do it every single episode. So it doesn't feel like one little thing to me. It feels like a 5 years of, you can't hang out with any other girls, you can't do this, you can't do that, like, don't tell me you're, like, just lots of crazy relationship behaviors, like, especially what we're seeing in Love is Blind is, like, crazy to me. So I don't care either way. So when Ashley said what Igor said, I was like, snaps, Igor, you better tell her you're going to talk today. Because she, like, tries to control the narrative, her and Jasmine screaming and wailing. Now, where I do think he was wrong was talking about masculine energy and basically trying to say that Americans, but I don't know. He's like, says it's, he tries to back away from it being about her transness, about the masculine energy. And no one believes that. I don't believe it for a second. I think that he is trying to say that. Because he's trying to devalue her transness or her transition in some way by saying, like, yeah, you still act like a man, which is crazy.
It's disrespectful because they're saying, like, if you love this person, you can't go for what you assume is her jugular, which is something that she wants to, you know, like, she literally has had a lot of surgeries. You know, it's an obvious thing that this person would, you know, is, she is feminine and she wants to be portrayed feminine. Like, it's obvious. So, like,
yeah,
just, it would be like, God bless, knowing someone had issues in the past, like maybe like with some eating disorder issues and then being, calling them fat or picky. But here's the thing with Devin, she's never been like, to us, she's never been like, stop calling me that. I don't want you to call me that. Now, Devin has been like, whatever. Yeah. So it's just, it's an interesting, it's just like, it's, yeah, it's very interesting to talk about. I agree. Yeah.
Yes. And so, yeah, the key to me is, I don't like that conversation. I don't like that he keeps trying to use it as a reason. And then him saying that he loves her, but he's unable to accept everything about her. So then go your separate ways. And this is, Nikki needs to be a grown ass 55-year-old woman that she is and make the choices to walk away for her peace. Like, she wants this drama. So
that part, see, that part's hard because as a seasoned woman, it's just hard to have your mom on there and be like, mom, take my ring. And then be like, well, so what's happening, by the way? I'm like, well, we did get together and I haven't pulled the visa work. And then you're like, oh, bitch, it's because you want to be on the show again.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, again, you weren't on before the 90 days, because now you've been on 90 Day Fiance. It seems like you blew the load. It seems like, was that going to be happily ever after? I literally don't understand the trajectory of the producers, what they want. But okay, God bless. Let's move on from them. So if you don't mind. So we get to move on to Sam and Citra. We, you know, Sam says that he got in the diversion program. That part worked out for him. Obviously, they're pregnant. Now, one crazy thing happens, and then one, you know, like, just moment happens that's crazy, like a statement. The statement is, at one point, Ash is like, how, you know, do you feel like Islam, like, finding Islam and your spirituality really helped you, like, you know, like, move on? He's like, yes. And we all know the man doesn't know anything about Islam. So, like, no, you know, like, what's going to help him, if it helps, is just finding a woman and a love in his life and a stable, maybe, you know, household and marriage and that feeds him and makes him feel good in some way. I mean, that would be more than just some weird religion and that he decided to pick for no other reason than just he wanted to marry someone that made him pick that religion. But then we get, and this is where the producers really did a crazy dumb thing, where they were like, so it's episode 20, something we didn't tell you ever, is that, remember when you met this couple? So they had this drama thing we just never told you about. Let's set it up. Sam and Citra, and we get this picture of Sam looking like he's cosplaying as like a young Republican candidate from a 1950s
full chin
blue cut hair, like a bit like a military garb. Like, he's wearing a blazer. I don't understand what I'm looking at, and it looks like almost audition footage for them to have been on the show talking about their relationship, which of course is that she, you know, is going to move over here, and that when they first started dating, when they were online, they had not met in real life, and we know that he met and went back there. So this is before he even went back there, before, of course, she's here, that he, and this is a dumb thing, they were talking, they're exclusive, and he has a one night stand. Okay. Well, we all know what that means. He fucked some girl. He has, you know, he's young as shit. And then they're like, Citra, no. And then they have us like have this messy situation where Citra's like, yeah, no, he told me that he met some girl and that he went to her house and she had something that was creepy and weird. And so he got creeped out and weirded by the thing. And so he couldn't fuck her. No. And then like Clayton's like, no. So sorry. One night stand means in fact, they did. Mm-hmm. So just take the tape back. And in your mind, yes, they did. And Sam's like, yeah, I fucking told you we did. And she's like, no, you didn't. He's like, well, then why would we have sat in there and cried about it? Why would you have cried? And why would I have cried knowing that some girl just sexually freaked me out? I mean, I don't know. It was like such a weird moment.
It was such a weird moment that they tried to make a moment. And I was so happy for Citra to be like, oh, that was a long time ago. Like, it doesn't matter.
Me too.
Thank you, Jesus. Because I am so sick of them wanting couples to have and rehash old drama that just is, I mean, he said it happened before they even met. So in that early stage of them talking and being exclusive, I mean, like, how did they, like, I feel like a lot of people start online relationships and are still, you know, really sussing out whether they want to, whatever. This isn't Brandon and Mary who are like, crazy right now over there in Philippines. Like Brandon is depressed, let me tell you. So it is so refreshing to have Citra be like, no, I'm not upset. And like all the cast members are like, oh, well, I would have been. And I'm like, can we just get more of like the Devin and Citra energy? Because I am sick of the Jasmine and Nikki energy. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was like, can we just get somebody who isn't just going to be the most at all times? So it was just so refreshing. It's like they were trying to be messy and Citra's like, nah. What we have now is so strong and so great. And like, I don't even really remember what it was those early days when we were dating. Okay. What? Thank you.
I honestly feel like Nikki and Jasmine looked around and they were like, looked at Citra and they're like, she's not going to do anything. And then this is obviously Jasmine talking. And then they look at, you know, like Devin and they're like, well, she's not going to do any, say any one peep. You won't hear from her the entire three episode. They thought that it was three episodes at the time. It's only got two because that's how bad the episodes were, you know? And then they looked over at the other one, Anna Lee, and they're like, oh, so all we have to do is take it to a 14 and we'll be stars of the show because like, yeah. Again, we said this in the part one, nothing special is happening during this tell all again. They nothing. Have no tricks up their sleeve. I mean, no tricks, which I feel like they probably shot themselves in the foot, like whether it was money issues, like, and I say their tricks again are either to bring out past OGs, have some sort of diocese, have an audience, film
they
them
brought out
that
a
night.
Stripper. They brought out a bachelor party stripper.
They phoned in. They FaceTimed. And by the way, I just want to ask you another. Yeah, they couldn't even bring her in the flesh. I want to let's have him smell her real life and see if his dick gets hard. That's how you know.
That is how you know something. I mean, it's like, and then you had, then they had Rob put in his little like whatever, and we're just like, no, you're a full clown. Just don't say anything. Don't say not one bloody thing. And he just kept trying to like, and then like, oh, it was just too much. It was just so boring and so stupid. So then we move on to Clayton and Anna Lee. And we've got more updates about the mom and Clayton tries to talk about his smelly guinea pigs, which upset me. I was just like, this is no, they smell. What are you attracted to about these animals? They're not even that cute. And so then, you know, Manuel has a huge problem with this. Okay. He's just like, no, you don't get to treat your mom like that. No. Then we find out from Jasmine, Jasmine is the like the Latino whisperer. Jasmine is the only one of like the Latino people who can like tell us what's going on culturally. And it's very, very poignant. She's like, listen, I'm gonna tell you right now that even no matter how old you are, as Latinos, we're all scared of our parents. Okay. It's like, thank you for that. She's like, so I can imagine it's a very hard thing. And let me tell you, Anna Lee's father is not okay with this union. Anna Lee is not going to end up staying with Clayton. Well, we all know that, right? But like the fact that her father's like, she didn't have to make this choice. I wish her the best. Like,
I hope she reconsiders it and comes back.
Yes.
I didn't quite understand how much Brandy hates Anna Lee / thinks that Anna Lee is like absolutely doesn't like her brother at all, feels no sexual warmth or chem, just feels like she is obviously just there for the green card. Like, Brandy comes out as a sourpuss. And I just didn't like, it was weird because her planning the wedding and then Clayton expecting her to plan a wedding, then now just to hear that, like, the whole time he thought that she was out for him was so crazy. Like, why isn't his mom there? Why can't we talk to him and the mom and the sister and be like, what the hell happened, you guys?
I feel like this is what happened. The mother, how she lost all her teeth is drugs. This is what I've made up. Okay. She had them kids. She was an alcoholic. The husband was abusive. Brandy is like 15 years older than Clayton.
Yes.
Or something. Wide gap to where Brandy is some kind of parental figure in his life. Because that's what it feels like.
Or his mom.
Yeah. What? Say it again. Or his mom's what?
What if Brandy was Clayton's actual mom?
Oh, it's actually Clayton's mother. Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. Except for Clayton does look like his mom.
I know.
But yeah, I mean, there's some kind of parental something that's going on with Clayton and Brandy. And Brandy is mad at Clayton for still being all up under the mom. Something happened. The mom did something. Something happened. And so, but also I think her being such a suspicious of Anna Lee is not unfounded, because I think Anna Lee, I would have expected her to have a little bit more English under her belt at this point. and I would have also expected for her to be a little bit more, I mean, she's right. There was the distance between them. They were hugging at some point, but it was uncomfortable because I think of their heights and their height and whatnot. Not hugging, but he was closer to her in part one. But I think that Brandy's indicative of the place that she is in the country, why she adamantly thinks that this person is using her brother. Now, but it wasn't so hit you over the head the way Gino's people were. So I at least appreciated that. I appreciated that she did do the bachelorette party and she did plan the wedding. But yeah, they have a very interesting relationship that I can't quite put my finger on.
It's so funny because at every turn, it just takes like an interesting thing. Like, to me, the stripper gate to me felt like a manufactured drama, because it's not because first of all, it's a retired trope. We are now talking about two stripper gates. Why? People have bachelorette parties. So you know what I'm saying? Like, how can now it be so fucking intensely horrible for two people, you know, who are dating, like, you know, middle road dudes to consider, you know, it's the girl. I mean, whatever. It's not even about the gender or like where they are. It's just like, people do have bachelorette parties, and in the American culture, sometimes at bachelorette parties, there are strippers. And, you know, like, it is one thing to, like, have private time with a stripper without the camera somewhere, and, like, it's quite another to have on camera a stripper do something to you, like, you know, touch you or whatever. So, anyway, that's why it's, like, I don't even believe that it's that I just can't believe it's that dramatic. So, having said that, it's, like, I don't quite even believe that that was such a horrible thing that happened in their entire storyline. I wish we had talked about the things that we're not talking about. And it's so funny because even at one point, Sean Robinson's like, are there things we're not talking about? And Brandy's like, uh-huh. And I'm like, great, Sean, here's your chance, bitch. Not a bitch. Why don't you please go ahead now and ask the follow-up questions? And then Sean's like, oh, okay. Anyway, let's take a break. Yeah. What? Even Jasmine sometimes is like trying to put a hard-hitting question together, except that Jasmine will use 14 more words than she has to do so, you know? Mm-hmm. But anyway, mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, but Jasmine does try to like ask the questions, you're right, and keep and like be like, let me ask you a question. Anna Lee or the Clayton. Yeah. Were you really that upset when like it is great. Like, you know how we were just thinking about who could be on the show and do the hosting? Jasmine.
Clayton, do you have a codependent relationship with your mother because you have seen things that you don't want to talk about and we should be respectful, but you're not saying it? Is that what's happening? Brandy, can you comment on these?
Yeah, you know, what have you seen? Tell us. We're dying to know.
You know, like, what is at the crux of this? And like, the other thing that is something that they're doing, the Annalie and Clayton, and we'll get off of them, is that there is like this underlying, like, they aren't sexually affirmative enough through their affection that makes us feel like they both have a sexual romantic relationship. And so she's like, I like to do things off camera, you know, or whatever. And then at one point they kissed. Did you see that kiss?
Yeah. And it was too much. It was too much. It was really intense. And it was, and I was like, I don't want to see them do that. I actually am okay with them not being as physical because they are two people that I do not want to see or imagine. And in fact, I can't even imagine them. They just are like the opposite of what I could imagine two people, even like when they have sex, like what is it? I can't.
Yeah, I love you so much. The way you said that was so, and remind me of Lisa Kudrow, like after a long day's work, when I come home, I don't want to see that. Yes. I don't want to see that. It's from The Comeback, you know? Yeah. Like, yeah. Like,
yeah. Hello, hello, hello. Like, I just, like, oh, I can't. God. I don't want it. Mm-mm. So,
no, I don't want to see that.
Yeah, Clayton's mom moved out. They all moved to Oklahoma. So maybe they're hanging out with Mike's mom. Amongst all of her like trinket in her home. But yeah, so she's in, they're in Oklahoma now. Mom doesn't live in the, I just want to know more about like why Oklahoma and is it cheaper than Kentucky? Like what?
It seems like it'd be the same.
Seems like it'd be the same, but they're even further away from Brandy who lives in Indiana, which I thought she lived in Indiana, so I'm not sure. Yeah. So they did a little clap for Brandy when she left.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what? Why? People, what was that about?
Yeah. It was, and then Brandy's like, she's using him for a green card. I'm like, I can't, you guys keep like going back between being super contentious and everything's chill and everything's fine. You're okay. I mean, it's, I don't know, but
yeah,
let's move on to Devin and Devin and Nick. Their update is that they moved to Hot Atlanta.
No, yeah. He did.
He's moved to Atlanta, and they're living separately as he like gets his life together and bearings for her to come, and they are enjoying it because they're introverts. And I wanted to like see how you'd feel about that.
Oh, I thought that was great. That's so true. Yeah. I was like, I'm so happy for them. They get a little breaky break from each other. Also here's this. Everyone's like, you already got your green card. And I was like, you guys, whatever his name, Nick is A, from South Korea / Australia. Those are two countries that our president at the time would not refer to as shitholes. So of course he got his shit quick. They make it seem like it was like, oh yeah, no, we just put it in immediately. The rest of you guys just like, you're taking your sweet time. I'm like, no. It all has to do with the country of origin. So I don't know where he transferred his citizen or whatever he used, but if he used Australia, well, yeah.
Australia.
Yeah. And if he used South Korea, yeah. Like what? It's very quick for those places. It's a very quick. So, it was just so interesting that nobody said the obvious when they were all like so confused. Jasmine hasn't even put hers in yet, which I love. Who knows about Sophie and Rob? I mean, she would have been able to get her shit quick too. So we don't know.
Yeah.
They didn't say anything. And, so I think it was just so interesting that they were all just like so confused as to how that happened. I was like, you guys obviously didn't watch their segment, to understand where they're from. So we bring her parents out and they, you know, basically they're okay with Not Jihoon, but the issue is that it was the piggy comment. And I just, we keep going back to the scene with the aunt who asked the very stupid question. Of like, so what do people in South Korea think about Americans? And I said, bitch, you don't know what everyone thinks.
Igor was watching that, was like, like,
yes,
because like everyone was like, don't ask if you want to know.
Yeah. And also like, it's really interesting that you don't already know. It's really, like, it just shows your worldview that you don't already know that. It's like, what is she expecting to say? Oh, we think Americans are really hardworking.
Number one.
We think Americans are salt of the earth. We think that Americans are just really smart and it's just the best country in the world. And so we all just really admire America. Is that what the fuck she thought? Because then the question could be turned the other way. What is it that you think about Koreans? And she'd be like, well, I have no idea.
Be like, well, there's the ones that we don't talk about, and because they're scary.
No,
and the
other she ones doesn't know. She doesn't know about North Korea, Chris. Okay. Stop it.
Okay, well, you're right. I wanted to yes and your joke. You're right. And you're just not yet. I was trying to, you know, get a good dialogue. But okay, yes. We talk about the piggy thing, you know, and you know, oh, I think this is where Jasmine does the question with a little too many words, which is like, she's like,
Devon. Knowing that Nick called you piggy, according to his culture, which we understand is just a nice thing, but knowing now that you have lost a significant amount of weight, although you looked beautiful then, you look lovely and healthy now, and I appreciate your parents for being here, yes, Jasmine, but was also wondering if perhaps your feelings were taken into account when he repeatedly called you piggy and it forced you to lose weight. I'm just saying, as Jasmine, host of the show, if intuitively I feel as a woman, I need to come to you and ask, was it the fact that he called you piggy that made you lose this weight? That you look beautiful, but you look beautiful then. Ashley, you know, like, you know, whatever. She says her name wrong. I'm not quite sure. You know, she's like, oh, Annalie, it's not Nikki. You know, like, she's just whatever. You know, and Devin's mom is like, she's been this weight before, and we all women, we all fluctuate, you know, and she's like, no, you know, I think that I went back to America and blah, blah, blah. She had also talked about the filming of the show made her anxious, you know, that when she was trying on dresses, she felt some way. I just want to say this, like, I think that I would want and need Devin in her life to cross off any boundaries she needs to with people that make her feel this type of way. And if someone she loves is calling her a word that means something to her still, then I wouldn't want it to happen. And the only reason I'm giving them grace is because I literally have Korean landlords that will call me, will talk about the way, how much weight they will be like, you look skinny every time they see me. And it's just their way of saying, you look healthy, you look happy. Okay. I can't help. I'm not going to be like, I'm not dating them, but water off my duck's back. I'm just like, that's how I feel, you know, like.
Yeah. And she didn't say that she doesn't like it. She just said, I wish you wouldn't say that in front of people. So
she was publicly, like, she wanted. Yeah.
And I think because A, she knows the stigma, and B, it can be like, you know, your significant other might call you a cute pet name. I mean, nothing like piggy. I can't think of another example, but what if they Chubby? Called you a cute nickname at home and it was fine.
I was called Gordita, you know, like, or like, you know, like there's a lot of like Latin names that are cute names for women that are just also mean a little porky. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But nothing quite. Nothing that they would be embarrassed with. Gordita is not, like, maybe some people are. I don't know. I can't speak for everybody. So, anywho, she and him are, she's going to go and be there with him once he gets everything set up and settled. And I was like, this is, like, the best immigrant experience, because every other woman who brings a man to the U.S. wants him to do exactly what Nick has done. She is what everyone wants, and no woman gets that. Like, every woman, when we see them after, either on 90 Day Fiancé or on Happily Ever After, is very upset at that man because he hasn't done anything for work.
Yep.
So I was very happy news, I thought. Okay. So. He also says, I'm sorry to America. Sorry that you're that upset about this. He really does not give one fuck. It's great.
I know. Manuel's like, oh, no, friend, unless you cry, it's not real. And then I love it. And then he's like, oh, yeah.
I love it. That made me so happy that he was like, yeah, great. Also, who casted them on this show? Because they are the most boring people. I mean, if it wasn't for Nick, Nick got them cast. Nick was the reason why. She filled 100%. It out. And Nick was the one who was like, ha ha ha.
He filled it out. I think he filled it out.
I think he had to talk her into it every step of the way.
I think he was like, come on, babe, it'll be fun. And she was like, no, I don't want it. You know, and he's like, no.
Just make us money.
She's like, I don't really want it. And he's just like, we've been through so much. It'll be so much fun. What an adventure. You know, like we'll be able to tell our grandkids. And she's like, we'll see. And then she's had a horrible time the entire time, you know, like has had to deal with, you know, everyone's comments. They are not a toxic couple at all. The worst part of their entire storyline is that he calls her Piggy, which is not even, okay, how do I do that? It's not even like, you fat fuck. You know what I'm saying? Piggy. You know, he's not in a vindictive way being like, I have this fucking fat fiance that just won't stop putting the burgers down. Like,
he is fucking the shit out of Devin, fat or thin. And they both lost weight together, right? He loves her punani so much.
I agree.
And she is just so like, yeah, no, but he's like, bitch, come here. Like, that is her man. And just because they don't talk, do all the things that like Ashley does and like Manuel, like we know that that's her man too. But like, it is just so cute to me that they are just this little like, and he just rocks her socks. I'm so happy for them.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So basically, yeah, then it's like bye parents and, you know, thank God. Mirna comes out and Mirna is Nikki's mom. And then this is where I'm like, no way are we going to have another Igor Nikki segment. I couldn't believe it when Mirna came out. I was like, and literally sometimes in the voiceover, you'll hear how the editors had to add in Sean Robinson saying, circling back to Nikki and Igor, where you're just like, why? Like, you know who we're never going to hear from again? Rob and Sophie. They say not one peep. He just sits there in his, like, you know, like Magic Castle uniform, and she in her like brown haired look, you know, just like, so then, yeah, she comes out. She's like, I just want the truth. And the truth is whether he loved her or not. And I just like, I don't understand why we have to talk about whether he loves her or whether he's sexually attracted to her had this many times, because the truth of the matter is the answer is no. That's how, I mean,
and we don't care.
And Nikki is too old to make us sit through this. So I need Nikki to like put her big girly panties on, take some singing lessons, get the career back on the road, honey, and take it and run, and just be like, I'm empowered. I'm going to like find the man that's for me. And there's a, you know, maybe he's American born. I would love her to go full fucking patriot and be like, just play around with that trope. Be like, I'm going to be American born. You know, I don't even fucking know, you know, like find her a man that's not Igor.
And then also,
I cannot believe that we had didn't even get like an Andre phone in to be like, just a couple of questions, Andre, about sexuality in Moldova, because we literally talked. There is so many times in which Nikki was like going around Moldova, be like, I have so many questions about, is this how men and women are in Moldova or just with him and me? And the whole time I was like, well, we get to ask our resident expert. Andre is too busy doing who the fuck knows what when we got him to real life for no reason with a dais of other, you know, 10 other people for a whole tell-all. That's why it's like, this tell-all was so phoned in. I can't even, you know, like this tell-all was made by AI. I think so.
I just started thinking about Andre. Could you imagine when they first met in Ireland? No. Like, could you imagine just being like, I feel like he was just so big and burly and he was like, Lib, I like you. And he was just so intense. I could just imagine him being so intense and so into this American girl and just like so masculine. Like, could you imagine if they like stumbled into an alley and like he had her up against a brick wall with like one hand, like one muscle hand over her, looking down on her. Oh my God. So the answer is that Andre is going to say no Moldovan man would ever, like, he's going to be that. That's why they didn't put him on there, because he was going to say something canceled worthy. Okay. His English is too good. There would have been no misunderstanding.
I think that at this point he's lived in America where like Libby would know what's happening. He'd be like, look, Andre,
she can't control him.
Okay. I understand, but it wouldn't be live. So
they could like see what they would get from him. Like, can you just at least ask for a couple of like, I don't know, FaceTime stories and see like what he, I don't know. I'm just whatever. So that is, so then we get like basically, you know, everyone just kind of packing up and leaving, like Sam and Citra, like seems like they're taking a bunch of snacks for the road.
Cause she's hungry and she has a demon inside her that's making her eat and vomit at the same time.
A baby.
So. Yeah. So she said, she's a demon. I didn't say demon. She said it. Oh my gosh. Anyways, you guys, that's the end of this. So we hope that you guys thought it was as awful as we did and that we can all just cleanse our palate and go on to happily ever after, which is beginning, I don't know, the 17th. I don't know when that shit is beginning. Are they going to give us a week? Probably not. Probably next week. We've got to start on happily ever after. So we get more Manuel. We get more Gino and Jasmine. We get Angela, Deem, and Michael. We get,
you know, I just Emily realized it's Oscar night. They tonight? Knew how shitty this episode was because they could have not aired it and waited a week because it's Oscar night. And like, you know, don't people like watch? I mean, like, that's, didn't they do the same thing for Super Bowl? They took a week off for Super Bowl.
But they don't take a week. Like, they only take a week off for Super Bowl and Christmas. They only do those two.
And I can see, you know, it's so funny because like off the top of my head, I don't know the numbers of like how many people watch one over the other. Like, you know, so maybe like, okay, well, all right. Well, then, yeah. So, but we're on in other ways because we had that single life, honey. The life is single. So in real life and 90 Day Fiancé. So we will move on.
20 weeks. Yeah. Thank you guys for joining us. 20 weeks minus 2 weeks because they gave us off Christmas and Super Bowl. But if you guys want to see the visuals of what you're listening to, if you want to get exclusive content such as our Love is Blind recaps, you can join us on patreon.com/docusweeties for $10 a month. Let me tell you, patreon.com/docusweeties helps us in two ways. A, to get an editor. B, to pay somebody to help us with social media. And three, that's it. Like, we do not pocket anything. So if you want to support this content, please, please go on ahead and join us on patreon.com/docusweeties. If you cannot do that, and we understand, Chris will tell you the other ways you can support this content. Chris?
Ooh, we have an Instagram. Have you heard of that weird thing called Instagram? Type in at DocuSweeties, like and follow all of our posts. We're also on X. We're also on TikTok. And we're also on Facebook, the DocuSweeties podcast Facebook group. And we love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. Give us 5 stars. If you haven't yet, consider a helpful review. And we'll talk to you later. All right, babes.
All right. Bye.